must come and preach the word of the Lord to us tonight. Thank God for his goodness and power. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. The worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Bishop, would you pray, sir?
Thank you, Jesus, for your power and your presence and real.
Yes, Lord.
Your presence is wonderful. Minister now, God, through your servant, through your word. Touch our hearts, draw us closer to you. We love you and thank you in Jesus Christ.
Amen. You may be sitting in the presence of the King. Amen. Good to be here back in Sterling. Amen. And if you have been, didn't get too maybe a little twilight, but not much up in Cayenne and Norrig, amen. But it was muddy. See? Couldn't fly the plane, so we went on boat. And I ruined a pair of Skechers, so got in a puddle outside the boat. And our four-wheeler didn't arrive in time, so we walked to the church. And here we are. I was walking, and all of a sudden, poof! Good thing I didn't go down. But God is good, amen. Got everything dirty and muddy, but I preach like that, so. It's all the same. I was in Norvik.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was about an hour boat ride since they were working on the plane. I was there, preached, had service fellowship, hour back. Amen. We had two services in Norvik, four in Cayenne.
Wow.
Amen. And great, great time, Bishop. Great time. They're growing. Amber, Selick, and other villages that they are starting to outreach.
Good.
And so, there's plans for next year. Sister Lama should be able to travel by then. I'll do maybe 2 or 3 weeks with them. So,
Wow. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. A good report. Amen. My wife called me crying today. She said, I just came from another visit from the doctor. You know, 2-3 times a week for almost three months now. It's kind of expensive, you know. But she said, I got a great report. I said, give it to me. I was praying here with Minister Perkins today for couple of hours or so, and we're holding up Brother and Sister Wicker last night, not tonight, tomorrow night, and maybe some Saturday, maybe some Monday. They've asked us to hold them up in prayer, so we're doing prayer meetings there as they bring Sister Richardson. Amen. I've seen her. I don't know her that good, but she's a phenomenal woman there out of Brother Wicker's home church in Florida in Bellevue. Amen. So they'll be there on next week. So they've asked me if I could just cover them in prayer. So we've been covering them in prayer. Amen. And so that's great. It's what I do. It's what I love to do. And but she said, hey, I said, I got some great news. I said, that's what I need.
Yeah.
She said, they told me for my kidneys, they're better than good.
Oh, praise God.
Ah.
Praise God.
Glory.
Praise the Lord.
Now I'm going to set you up because this is going to get a little bumpy tonight. Just like when I flew from Kotzebue to Anchorage. Beautiful, beautiful, smooth ride. But they said, well, when we get into Anchorage, it's going to be a little turbulence. I said, well, that's about my preaching. Amen. And then she said, my liver's great.
All right.
They said, they ain't ever seen a liver that great. We know what it is, Bishop.
Amen.
Pastor said the Glover Stone Pentecostal Church, y'all have been a big, huge part. Amen. In prayer. And I want to say, and I know he don't mind saying it, you know, I'm not bragging, but y'all been with this. Yeah. Somebody's second, real close second. But y'all have been the number one church and individuals from this church that have supported us in the last few months.
Good.
And not only Bishop gives us, you don't know that he sends us extra offerings. Don't get mad at him, you know. So, and I'm not even preaching that's good, but an extra that y'all send, and then y'all individuals in this church, amen, they have tremendously blessed us with hundreds.
Thank the Lord.
Hallelujah. Of course, my home church, amen. Chicago churches. Montana, lots of individuals in South Texas district, and my And UPC headquarters sent us a $1,500 offering about a month ago. Amen. Because I am in the Evangelistic Association with them. And so I talked to my director. I said, man, I need some help here, bro. So he said, let me send you the form. Take it in right quick. Amen. And it was just a matter. I said, it might take a week or so. Matter of hours. Hours. Wow. The electronic right to my bank account. I said, we checked your record. We checked with your district superintendent. We checked with your bishop. Man, you got check marks everywhere. I said, well, I'm glad. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So she was crying and happy, and tomorrow pray for her. It's so good in the liver, in the kidney, that they are going to take out two or three of the stents that are in there. Wow. Yeah. So they were waiting for a good report. Okay. So she's on tomorrow. The Bible says a good report makes the bones fat. So she's going tomorrow. She said, I'm going to have them take out. Now my energy level and all that's going to take months to get everything back because it's all trauma. But that's a good report. Amen. That's a good report. Amen. So thank you, Sterling Pentecostal Church. Amen. Not only pastor, first lady. Amen. And I can see lots of individuals have gave from their heart. Whether it's $10 or whether it's been, no, I better not say the highest amount because it's high. But it's been, amen. And just the other day when I was in Cannes and all that, when I told him about that, somebody just walked. I didn't even know. First time I saw this person, he walked up to me and said, brother, I'm here. Here's $100. Didn't even know the person. Got good because I gave. We're givers. You can't ever outgive God. Amen. So thank you. Thank you, Bishop, for your confidence and through the years. And, you know, I'm setting you up. Do not throw bricks tonight. Because I'm bringing you. It is amazing. And there's no nonsense. Tuesday night, Bishop called me in the office. You got another one? I say, sure do. In fact, I got three more. And I'm working on one now over at the Villas. Okay. You know. But last Thursday night, I was in Sedona preaching for Pastor Mendenhall. And when he told me before I left Houston, I already knew I was going to go there after Cayenne before I came here. And so the Lord gave me a no-nonsense for them, only for them. And I probably won't preach it anywhere else. And then one night, as I was looking after Sister Lamas, amen, and it was on the 28th of June, we were home, two more days celebrating 50 years of marriage because we couldn't celebrate it. So we're going to put it off a year. And I looked at her and her situation, and I went back in 1973 where Bishop Stanley said, in sickness and in health, poor or rich, my responsibility to help her. So the whole time I was home, 6 weeks, I stayed up every night. Slept about 4 hours during the day. My son-in-law and daughter-in-law, my son-in-law and my daughter stayed in the daytime with her. I said, no, I want to stay up at night and look after her. So I slept in my study on my chair for 6 weeks. Wow. 50 years ago, in sickness and in health. And I washed her, and I tended to her hand and foot. I didn't expect her to cook for me. I didn't expect her to clean. Helped her to the facilities. Got up. Huff. Yeah, boom. Okay. What do you need me? What? 50 years. You don't throw away 50 years. You don't throw 50 years of living for the Lord in January either. Come on now. Hallelujah. It's going to get bumpy. But the Lord gave me this message. One, June 28th, and very rarely do I finish a no-nonsense in one day. It takes me sometimes up to 2 weeks. But I'm there praying, and I'm watching her, and she's crying sometimes, and man, my heart breaks and all that. And said, I'm right here. Just give me a holler. I'm right here. And so she got quiet, finally arrested. Went to sleep for a number of hours. And then the Lord started dealing with me. And I knew it was coming up here. And so I started to work on the next no-nonsense message. And I worked on it, and I worked on it. And in 7 hours, I had completed it. And the Lord, I don't know how the Lord speaks to you cats, but the Lord said, SPC.
Okay.
So I don't know if I'll preach this anywhere else ever again, like I did last Thursday night. That was a totally different no-nonsense to Pastor Mendenhall. It was for that church. So this is for you. June 28th,
yeah.
I already knew what I was going to preach about before I even left Houston, if I had the opportunity to come.
Good.
Amen. So it's brand new. Of course, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Amen. So I'm going to continue on the no-nonsense message.
Good.
Amen. First 9 verses of Psalms. We won't go there. I'm going to give you some more verses. We've given you a lot of verses. Throughout no-nonsense messages that we have come, that we have ministered the word here, but I put this together, amen, on Thursday morning from midnight to 7 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't believe I said I've never done this before, Bishop, never, amen. So just chill. So if you, what time is it? Oh, 20 to 8. Now, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you a break. If you need a munchie more than a miracle, you're dismissed. Bye. I ain't got no takers. Huh? Huh? I am anointed. You got to say that to yourself. I am anointed. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense, Bishop, but it makes sense. I am anointed, but I need a drink. And okay. I'm not talking about Bud Light.
No.
This man have a drink of a monster. It's pretty good. You know, I only got one white pineapple left, so I'm saving that for in the morning, but I got several of these local mangoes for the local guy. But I thought about this. I am anointed, but I need a drink. I said, speak to me, man. I mean, I'm not that smart. So this is what I got out of it. We have a lot of people that come to the house of God that think they're anointed but never drink. They just come to church, but they don't come and drink. When the Bible says to drink of rivers of living water.
Yes. Yes.
We can get all the drink that we want to. But not only here, possibly, but as I travel, I see a lot of people, amen, that need a drink, but are just satisfied with just coming to church. Stay infused with the word of God. Open up your mouth. And open up your mouth and with a mighty, mighty, mighty decree, speak.
All right.
Yes.
Praise God.
Speak.
Yeah.
Because Psalms chapter 130 and verse 1 and 2, this really got to my spirit as I was studying it. Amen. It says, Psalm 130, verse 1 and 2, it says, out of the depths. Wow, I thought about this, Bishop, even for me personally.
Okay.
Out of the depths, Brother Thomas, have I cried unto thee, O Lord.
Yeah.
Verse 2, Lord, hear my voice. And we can holler about a lot of stuff. We can holler at our co-workers or at our CEOs or our spouses or our children, grandchildren, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we wouldn't even holler out when we come to the church. I praise you. I love you. I glorify you.
Amen, amen. Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. So out of the depths have I cried. When was the last time that you really, really, really were facing crazy circumstances, but you think and I think that we're smart, that we can figure it out, and this is the way it's going to be? No. When was the last time we cried out of our depths and said, we can work this thing out? Because they're seeing it all over the country. Kids leaving their homes. Because they can't stay at home. They can't stand being at home. They can't stand working for people. They can't stand brothers and sisters in church. Y'all still here? It's going to get better. I see it. And they talk to us. Let me tell you something. Let me encourage you here real quick. You've got to say, I will work every... You know, if you want to get mad at, get mad at him. He's the one that told me to preach this nonsense. But I had it ready before I came. So ain't nobody can accuse me of I'm preaching. And when I preach, I don't preach anything. I preach to congregations. And this is what the Lord gave me for SPC. June 28th. 7 hours of all night tending to my wife and then trying to get my mind to this. I thank you, Lord. You're just down. It's too fast. You're just downloading it. Download it. Download it. Download it. I will work every gift that God has downloaded in me. He made me a winner.
Thank the Lord.
And nobody here or anywhere else has the ability to call me a loser. I'm not a loser. I'm a child of the King.
That's right.
You can't talk to me that way. I was born for such a time as this. I'm a child of the King. I am anointed, but every time I come to church, I need a drink.
Yes.
I need a drink from the wells of salvation. I need a drink from rivers of living water. Why? Because sometimes I'll come to church and I'm all bummed out and messed up, and I need another drink. And out of my depths, yeah, he made us a winner. So you have to be tough against the enemy. You have to be tough and stand. How do you do that? You focus to break through. Because every part, as I read the scripture for me, every part of your Bible is intended to rescue you from you.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, from you. Including the preacher up here. James chapter 14 and verse 17. Amen. We don't like this scripture. I don't. Because it does a number on llamas. But it's there. James chapter 14 verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Right.
I read this, and we talk to hundreds of people. And I look at them and I can tell some people act as if it applies to everyone except them. Sin addicts. Sin takes you captive. Sin enslaves. The wrong you think you can control will eventually control llamas. I read Isaiah 59 several times, and just one verse, because I can't go through the whole thing. One verse, and I got this statement. I'll read it in a minute. Isaiah 59, verse 5. Can you have it in the New Living Translation, if it's possible? Here's the statement that I got, and then we'll read it. Engage in deceit, you engage in violence, and you engage in injustice toward one another, toward pastor, your spiritual parents, or whoever it is, you engage in injustice unfairly, and there are always repercussions. Because you and I will reap sooner or later what we sow. And I tell people all the time, they're Christians, but they're living in sin. I say, man, it looks like they're getting ahead of all of us. And all that. It's okay. It's okay. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up with the wrong that they did you and I. You reap what you sow. Maybe not now. Maybe 6 months from now. What? Isaiah 59:5. They hatch deadly snakes and weave spiders' webs. Whoever their eggs, whoever their eggs will die. Is that the right thing? I might have wrote it down here wrong. Watch this. Oh, okay. Here you go. Okay. Now watch this. All right. Here's my personal statement. Now you might have your own. Here's my personal statement from this scripture, besides the statement that I gave you just a minute ago. It says, in other words, when I was meditating on this, you keep your foolishness up and God's favor on you will stop. Even though you're thinking you're winning, and even though you think you've done the right thing, judgment will eventually come to you. Now, you just came from a camp meeting. And we came from a camp meeting in South Texas District. Phenomenal, wonderful, great speakers. We get the best, y'all get the best. We already got our B12 shots. I'm here not to help you make heaven. I'm not here to give you B12. You already got it over there. I'm here to help us make heaven. Anybody in the house can say amen?
Amen.
Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Say it, Mitch. Hallelujah. What?
Anyhow.
There's only one out of the whole bunch. No, we set that up. We're talking about hallelujah anyhow, huh? All the crazy stuff we've been through the years. God can only protect. Watch this. God can only protect you in the area he is in control of. I think we have too many control freaks. Micromanagers. I used to, when I was working construction, and you know, you have to, when you're in church and you're working for the man of God, or, you know, for somebody, you have to separate job, business from church. But I had two different kinds at different times in construction. One was pretty tough on us, but he respected us. He didn't holler. He didn't cuss. He didn't hit you upside the head. You wanted to work for him. I had another cat that was apostolic, that was hell on wheels. Ain't nobody wanted to work for that dude. I said, he ain't got Holy Ghost I got. No. Talking about Houston. Come on. When you do it your own way, Burger King religion, have it your way. One of my evangelistic friends preached a phenomenal message on that. He preached on Burger King religion. Oh, man. I think we all were under the pews by the time he got through, but it was for the better. Is this okay, Sister Glover?
It's very good.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Because when I was doing this thing for 7 hours and watching my baby at the same time, whoop, I'd stop, get up, help her. Ooh, out, ooh, each out. And I didn't tell her what I was doing. You know, she was already in trauma as it was. I was trying to comfort her as much as I could. I'm her hubby. I got to comfort her. Ain't nobody else going to comfort her if I don't comfort her. When you do it your own way, you become susceptible to many calamities. You and I tonight. I know we get them in my home church. I don't know about here. We get them in our district. You cannot manipulate people. And you cannot manipulate God.
Amen. Amen.
I'll pick a faithful individual, Brother Thomas, over a gifted one. Okay. Gifts can be imparted, but you can't teach someone to be faithful.
All right.
It's a what? According to Galatians, it's a fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
It is a fruit of the Spirit that is what? Cultivated by their what? By their intimacy with God. I got to go back to Psalm 130. Out of the depths, I'm cultivating my own personal intimacy out of the depths. Yeah. Because intimate moments in the presence of God are what gives birth to public miracles. I truly, really believe it, ladies and gentlemen. We live in a generation where people want to be used by God, but don't want to listen to God and don't want to listen to their spiritual parents. The world / your community can only see Jesus through you. What do they see through you when you leave here? What are they looking at the other times that you're not in church? How are you presenting yourself in your integrity and in your character, in your job, in your business, or whatever it may be?
Right.
Do they want to go to church if you invite them? After all, we are a soul winning station and a healing station. Huh? Don't be like one guy. Don't be like one guy when he walked into our, and I hate to say that, but I have to use my own church. Don't be like one guy. He walked in and he saw an individual. And he said, he told Bishop, they go to your church? He said, yeah. He said, oh, man, I didn't know. I wouldn't have come. Ooh, no nonsense until it makes sense. Do people want to come to your church? They're quiet here. June 28th, 7 hours of intense craziness in my life while watching my wife. The spirit of pride gives way to rebellion. Rebellion is not content with what it has already. You can't give God your best when the spirit of rebellion is in you. You can't worship and praise God with an ego so big, inflated, and arrogancy and pride. Pride and haughtiness and arrogance is thinking I can do what God has called me to do without Him. Some of us, and we taught this, I'll give you some more information here in a minute, but we're teaching this in our gatekeepers at our men's South Texas District men's thing. Amen. I can't speak for the women, but for the guys, because I'm on the committee. And we were talking about this. There's four of us on the committee, and we have a director. And then, of course, Michael Williams is the director for the UPCI in general out of Apopka, Florida. But we're thinking about this, and it hit me, and it hit me. Some of us are still acting like our old self. So we raised the question, do we really have the Holy Ghost? And if we do, quit acting like I was.
Right. Because
there are some here tonight. You need to come out of your trial. Come out of your trial like a soldier. Amen. Come out. Amen. Don't be crying in your drinks and your Dr. Peppers or whatever. Don't be crying. Come out like we all go through the trial. We all go through it. Come out like a soldier. Oh, man, it's been so hard, Bishop, the last few months. So hard. Yeah, and I'm gonna admit something. I'm going to expose myself to you because I know some of you won't. I know because you got so ego and it's inflated and you got pride. But at times, Sister Glover, I wanted to cuss and fume at God. And I wanted to lash out on my daughter and my grandson. I mean, on my granddaughter and on my son-in-law and even my mother, who's 96 years old. So why is this happening, Lord? Why?
Yeah.
Oh, but I go back to Psalm 130, Bishop. Right. Out of my, this will take care of llamas. Out of the depths. Yeah. Out of my depths. I don't know about you. I got to take care of my own. You got to take care of your own depths, folks. There are times that I do want to cuss like a sailor. Mm-hmm. I didn't. Because we don't allow any cuss words in my home. We allow very little hollering in my home. Very little. And it's got to be firm and it's got to be in love. Uh-huh. I'm not letting any kind of devil spirit get in my home.
Praise God.
It's nonsense. We have our knockdown drag outs, but we have them in private. Not in front of my daughter, not in front of my granddaughter, not in front of my son-in-law, not in front of my mama. We go through trials, and it's hard. Life is hard. I realize that. But we got the book, and we got a bishop. All of us, including myself, all of us would live better Christian lives. And I'm not saying the bishop don't have his problems, but all of us would live better lives and be better Christians if we just listen to bishop. If, because a lot of times, for some, not all, it goes one ear out the other. We don't need no 65 mansy pandy sugar baby candy sugar babies in the kingdom. The kingdom. Watch it. Love God. I know it's hard. At times, I'm not saying it's all roast, man. Love God. Like I've had through this whole situation. Now, and I told my wife, said, oh, a good report makes the bones fat. Because
yeah.
I held my tongue. And I held, like, you know, God, I ought to give you a good right. Because they used to box when I was 8, 7, 8 in the silver gloves. You know? And Psalm 130, out of the depths, llamas, out of the depths, llamas, out of the depths, llamas, out of the depths, llamas. I cried. I let all the Chicano Tex-Mex junk out of the depths. I cried unto you. Because when I got the Holy Ghost, and we say this in our gatekeepers in Houston, we say it to our men, we got men, Germany guys, Indian guys, Mexican guys, Colombian guys, San Salvador guys, white guys, black guys, African guys, any kind of guys. I said, when you got the Holy Ghost, all that culture went out the window. And we tell them, and we tell the young men that were there, we encourage young men to go with their fathers that are single, and we tell them, when you get married, son, and this is our committee, when you get married, son, your wife may or may not cook like your mama. Quit putting that over her head. She ain't your mama. She's your wife. And he's your husband. You're apostolic. You're born again. And my wife don't cook like my mama. My mother can't cook a whole lot. My wife better than my mama. And my mama knows that. You're never wrong to do the right thing, is what I'm saying. You're never wrong to do the right thing. Remember, this is coming from June the 28th. This ain't coming from when I got to Alaska. This is coming from Houston, Texas. You can't fool a, watch this, you got to catch this. You can't fool a person who prays to God about everything. Tell them the truth or God will tell them. Yeah, suck on that a bit. I was at home and I was meditating. And when I'm fixing to give you... came out at 3:14 p.m. I wrote all this down so you won't think I'm accusing anybody. I wrote all this down. June 28th was a Wednesday, 3:14 p.m. Meditating right there because I couldn't sleep. So I told son-in-law, daughter, y'all go. I'll stay with the wife. But dad, you ain't slept for 2-3 hours. It don't make no difference. I married her for 50 years. Go take a break. I'm going to be all right. Because before I'm a preacher, I'm a husband. And I'm a Christian. And I'm a prayer warrior. And I have to deal with all my ups and downs and all my faults. Even when we were working and she was making sometimes more money than I was, I always gave her money. I always gave her money to spend. We were talking about this a few weeks ago. And we were talking about this, you know, we're celebrating 50 years and we have to wait a whole year, you know. It is what it is, you know. And we're talking about, and with the babe, you know what, we've had her ups and downs, knock down, drag out, you know. Everybody, you know, it's fine. But she told me, you know what, babe? And I said, what, sweetheart? I said, you'd never once help me back from going shopping and looking over my shoulder to see what I bought. You always gave me money, even though there was a couple of times when I had jobs and I was making more money than you did. I remember those times, and then I made a whole lot more money than she did. But you always gave me money. And I said, I don't need you. I said, I'm your husband. And I told you the story of the testimony of 2017, Hurricane Harvey demolished our home. Once again, y'all came to the rescue. Once again. And not only church, but individuals. And I told you that she wanted that double oven so bad because it's been about 8-7 years since we even had an oven because it was broke. And she wanted this particular oven. And I said, man, that's a lot of money, even though insurance is paying for it because we got a $212,000 worth of damage, folks. Think about that. And to this day, we still got another 10,000 that we need to fix. It's coming. It's coming. I'm not worried about it. It's my problem. It ain't my wife's problem. It's my problem. I said, you want that one, baby? She said, I want that double oven. I said, this is what we're going to do. I said, we'll streamline the refrigerator. We'll streamline the dishwasher. And we'll streamline the towel. And get just the basic. And then we'll add it all up. And guess what? This is the way the Lord works. Because I fasted and prayed about it. The Lord worked it out that she was able to have that oven.
All right. Very good.
Praise God. Boy, that oven's been put to use because she likes to cook. And then my daughter said, oh, Dad. And then she put letters on top of the oven. Here is where memories are made. And then she put over my study. In the morning, and I see it every morning when I'm home. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. So we're having a little situation with my grandkid right now. And so then my daughter's been doing a lot of prayer and fasting. I said, baby, you ain't never prayed and fasted that much. She said, oh, Dad, I'm desperate. I said, well, that's good, baby. That's good. We're gonna back you up. You and son-in-law, we're going to back you up. So, I'm going to have to cut the field. Sorry. But 3:14 p.m., June 28th, here it is. I was at home and just meditating and relaxing and talking to the Lord, and this came to mind. And then I felt a pushing of the Spirit, an unction. And here's what I wrote. I believe with all of my heart that in any given service, anybody, anyone can be saved, healed, set free, delivered, restored, if they want to.
That's right.
And then the Lord said, go to Romans 10 and 17. I said, boy, that's an easy one.
Yeah.
But it's true. Faith come by hearing. Not one ear at the other. Faith come by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So here's what I wrote. So when we hear the word and we have to act on the word, Sister Heather, and that we act and act A-C-T-I-O-N. We add action. Why? Faith without works is dead. We have too many hearers in the church and not many doers. So the Lord said, I'm going to take you to James chapter 1, verse 22. I said, thank you, Lord. That's for me. Be you hearers of the word, and not only hearers, deceiving your own selves.
Right.
The Passion Translation says this. Don't just listen to the word of truth, Bishop preaching here, and not respond to it, for that is the essence of self-deception. The New Living Translation says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. 3:14 p.m., June 28th on a Wednesday, and 110 degrees in Houston. Thank God for AC, though. We are the church. Souls need to be saved. We are the church. Let's act like the church. And let me tell you, the glorious church doesn't walk with a defeated and victim mentality, but the church walks with authority, walks with dominion, walks with faith, walks like a soldier, walks like, hey, I'm a winner and not a loser, I'm above and not beneath, I'm the head, not the tail.
Amen, amen, amen.
We don't walk with a victim mentality. Because some folk, no, better not say that. Thank you for the check. See? I'm not wanting to blab my mouth. When God checks me, I ain't saying it.
Okay.
So, I ain't saying it. Let me move on. If you're going to see revival, there must be a change in our heart posture. Your hunger, ladies and gentlemen, your hunger and your desperation determines your direction in this church. Sometimes, like he does us, sometimes God will frustrate your plans so that he can fulfill his perfect will in your love, in your life. We need to run away from the things that pull us away from God's heart.
Uh-huh. Right.
C.S. Lewis, I was reading him. I love C.S. Lewis. You read it?
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis, man, authored over 30 books. Did a lot of, I believe he was, had something to do with Oxford University, I think.
Yeah.
Did I have any? Yeah, I think. Mm-hmm. Boy, just one statement grabbed me. Oof. C.S. Lewis said, hell begins with a grumbling mood. I know I wasn't going to get a lot of hallelujah anyhow. Lord, you talking to llamas? It's me. His heart at times It's hard to cast stones at people if you're washing feet. Let's get busy washing people's feet. When fear comes to visit, you tell it. And I think I send this out on text. I got about 150 people on texts that I send. I don't send the same text to everybody because I pray every time I send text through my phone. And then those that I don't have a phone number to, I've got at least 50 to 75 more on Messenger that I don't have phone numbers because I've sent them to the Philippines, India, Pakistan. I got a couple in Singapore and in Japan. I got a good friend of mine. Good. They're going to invite us, hopefully, over in South America. They want to invite us. Ladies been working with us and said, man, we love, my husband and I, we pastor several churches. We'd love for you to come up here one day. I said, well, we'll see what happens. So I sent her some texts to the messenger because I don't have the phone number. But watch this. I send this text out to several. When fear comes to visit, you tell it. Faith already got there first. No need for your services. You remember that one? I don't know who, you know. I just said, you know, he reminds me of a lot of stuff. I can't remember a lot of stuff by the time. So I don't remember what I said yesterday or the day before. I mean, I know I could go back and look. But the benefits, my bishop said one time, the benefits of multitasking are overrated. He'd been doing some hard teaching with us. He'd been doing some teaching to us, man. He said, the benefits of multitasking are overrated. He said, focus is what you get things done. Okay. Yeah. The biblical command to rejoice always, Paul said, rejoice always, and again I say rejoice, seems almost inappropriate. I wish there was more evangelists. Is this okay?
Yeah.
I tried to be evangelistically last Thursday night and didn't turn out that way.
Yeah. All right.
A biblical command to rejoice always seems almost appropriate. It doesn't seem to allow for mood swings that humans experience. But surely that is the point. And Bishop goes on to say, I'm just quoting some of my Bishop stuff. We're no longer mere mortals. If we allow moods and events to dictate and shape us, we have forgotten who we are. Ooh. I don't think anybody in that 500 member congregation said, hallelujah. And here a while back, he said, and this is another thing we're going to do, church. He said, we thought about adding 200 more seats, but we're stepping out by faith. We're not going to add an extra 400 seats. Instead of the balcony, we're going to have a balcony and risers. And we're going to connect our two buildings. And if we overgrow that, you see, we got a lot of property back there. We got room for a 2,500-seat sanctuary.
Wow.
He said, but we've already got 400-500 coming to our services. I said, when we get through, we're going to have a seating capacity of 900. Little by little. The modern cliches, be true to yourself. This is still him. Don't get mad at me. The modern cliches. I mean, I text, you know, Bishop don't know, but I text him sometimes in my travels.
Yeah.
Because I remember a lot of statements. The modern cliches, be true to yourself or follow your heart, are so inadequate, especially when your heart and self are the problem. And we didn't have a lot of amens on that Bible study that Wednesday night. There was a lot of squirming, including myself. And I remember Pastor saying, and then I'll continue and I'll finish up here. I'll preach. I remember Pastor saying to our congregation, if you don't get drunk in the spirit once in a while, then Pentecostals of West Houston, I shouldn't have said that, but it's okay. Yeah, I know. Bishop! All right. He said, if you don't get drunk once in a while, You're not a Book of Acts church. Start acting like one. Where the drunkards in the spirit that we had to take out? Because they were so drunk in the spirit. And he goes on to say, a healthy apostolic church should have fivefold ministry / gifts of the spirit in operation in a regular basis.
Okay.
He said, if you claim to have the Holy Ghost, act like it. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. He said, don't act like a saint in church and a devil at home. Or we're coming to visit you. He old school. He old school. And don't be and he said, don't be so demanding in your own home that they can't live with you. He said, respect is earned, not demanded. Man, I said, man, I wonder what happened that he was teaching us like this, Lord. I'm pastoring. Is this okay? I'm doing good. I got to sit with the spiritual parents. Spiritual parents are very valuable in the church, and I'm here under my second set of spiritual parents. Hallelujah. Every time, just think. And I'm looking at my wife, Brother Tom. I'm looking at my wife. You know, she's better now, but back then when I first went home after this winter trip, you told me I needed to go home, and then I had my ticket and all that. He told me I needed to go home. I went home. I went and said, I'm an evangelist, man. Who is you? Well, pastor's my pastor. I went home. It went this year. It didn't come out this one. I went home. So I'm looking at my wife. I'm looking at my, and I'm thinking, 50 years. And I'm thinking, and I wrote this statement down. And not only to her, but maybe brothers and sisters in church or your coworkers or whoever it may be. I wrote this one down and it really hurt me. It touched me. I'm looking at her right there. Man, she, at that time when she came home and she still had all the staples. All right, praise God, all the staples are out. Man, praise God. She's down to about 40 or 50 pounds lighter now, you know. Amen, Sister Nichols. I can't wait to take her out and buy her some new clothes. I'm going to buy her some new clothes. I can't wait. I'm going to get more money, but I can't wait. I'm not going to go overboard. I'm not going to go in debt. Everything she has is falling down. And this is a good thing. And I wrote this. I'm looking at her. And I'm hurting. But I'm rejoicing that she came out of it.
Right. Miracle.
Yeah, miracle. Here it is. If you don't listen to nothing else, you listen to this. Every time, just think that if I never see or hear from this person again, am I happy, oh God, that this is our last interaction? And I'm looking at her and crying for the Perkins when I'm getting this, it's being downloaded in my spirit. Because hell is in our minds. And you are tortured by regrets. And only that one word. And only if. That's not a life. The best moments are those that are authentic. That are real. That are present. That are kind. Moments do matter. I don't want to have any regrets. I want to preach what the Lord gives me here, bitch. And when I leave, I don't want to have any regrets.
Right, amen.
Right words smooth, wrong words irritate. Problems are normal to life, okay?
Sure.
But how you respond makes the difference. Your decisions decide your conduct, character, and destiny. It all begins with a decision. And I know, you might be under attack tonight. You might be under it for whatever reason. You might be under attack tonight. But you know what? The blood is also under you.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on. Satan knows the anointing because he was anointed. All manipulation is the same as witchcraft. We're spirit-filled. We're apostolics. Sometimes you got to kiss people goodbye. Co-workers, friends, whoever they are, kiss them, have a goodbye spirit. When it hurts to move on, and we were teaching a lesson to the guys that are the gatekeepers. When it hurts to move on, just remember the pain you felt hanging on. And I'm dealing with one situation I'm dealing with a family situation right now, within my relative situation right now, that this statement makes sense. When it hurts to move on, just remember the pain you felt hanging on. So I'm hoping to take those words of wisdom, sis. But it's not worth it. Proverbs 25:28. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. You cannot change levels if you refuse to change. Release so you may receive. Out of the depths, yeah. I cry.
Oh God.
What is that? That's release. Man, he was on target in Psalm 130. Out of my depths, that was a release. What happened? He received. He received. One of the greatest enemies facing the apostolic church today is busyness. Not having time for God, family, prayer time, fasting, reading your Bible. It was St. Augustine. This really got me. It was St. Augustine who said, in my deepest wound, oh man. And I know I'm talking to probably everybody here today that's had a deep wound of some kind, somewhere, sometime. Everybody. In my deepest wound, I saw your glory. And he said, it dazzled me. So I can't help but believe in Psalm 130, Sister Glover. I don't know what was going on at that particular time that verse was written, but out of my depths. It could have been maybe next level. It could have been somebody that did him wrong or whatever it was. He said, out of my depths. He didn't cuss and fume and throw fits and blah, blah, blah. Get out of here. Blah, blah. Out of my depths. Yeah. I cry. We don't do enough crying in our services. We don't do enough crying as apostolic men and apostolic women and apostolic young people. Pray in tongues as much as you can, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm closing, I promise. We don't pray in tongues enough. Huh? Pray in tongues as much as you can in your walk with the Lord. When you do that, what happens? You put yourself in a position to allow your angels to move mountains. We're in the soul-saving business, right? We're in the healing station business. When you love the broken, you look like Jesus. Yeah. You know, and you know me, as transparent as I am in my preaching, and I was thinking about this, so the group, I could maybe change my style. And maybe, you know, I like to encourage, but I can be brutal at times. But that's because God has done a number on me. I don't preach anything to any congregation that God doesn't do a number to me first. And I thought about this. As transparent as Lamas is, I still have to humble myself. Why? I hope you can grab this next statement that I wrote. The remembrance of God's mercy and grace delivers Lamas to humility.
Praise God.
I don't know about you, cats, but me. As you read Paul's writings in the epistles, you'll find that the word, and I know he was tough, but you'll find that the word grace was one of his favorite words. Read it. Toward the end, he closes almost every epistle with the word grace. Somewhere in there. Okay. Can you give me about 10 more minutes, Bishop?
Good.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. He's my spiritual authority. But I've got to get, I'm trying to get a few more things across because he downloaded a lot of stuff in 7 hours. And I never had done no nonsense in just 7 hours. So it's taking me a long time. But as men's director for the Houston Metro West, we have in our South Texas district around 121 churches just in our South Texas district. And we have 5 districts in Texas. But just in my district, we have 121 churches. And since I'm still on my third term, and I guess they like me, as transparent as I can be, I got voted in January on my third term. Boy, y'all still like me. I can give it to whoever. Y'all can have it. But I'm on my third term, so it'll be 6 years. In my section, I'm responsible under pastors over 34 churches. That's in my section. Yeah. Try dealing with guys from 34 churches. Yeah. And when Brother Gurley and my presbyter and my pastor said, "You're the man." I'm a full-time evangelist, dude. I ain't going to be here. You're the guy for the section. I didn't want it, Sister Glover. But I was obedient.
Okay. Yeah.
Because they knew how I was in my preaching. And if they gave it to a younger guy, those guys would have crushed them. Those cats over there in Metro West that I'm over, they ain't going to crush llamas. They ain't going to crush me. They ain't going to crush me. I'm not going to let them get to me. I'm here to help them make heaven. My only reason is for them to make heaven.
Praise God.
Praise God. I often ask the Lord to make me humble. I'll tell you how to make yourself humble. And this is another thing that we taught at Gatekeepers here recently. We just had our men's conference. And this is what we taught. This is just South Texas. I don't know about Alaska. South Texas. This is what we taught them right here. I'll tell you how to make yourself humble, guys. We're talking about 400 men with some of their kids. We said, go home, sit down with your wife and your children, and say, "Do you think I'm like Jesus?" Hallelujah. I'm talking about South Texas. Because we got some boogers in South Texas. Boogers. But I'm 71. They're not going to run over me.
All right.
This is one time that I can put that one word that I'm still trying to get. This is one time that I can put that word over them that I don't understand. You can help me. Quote, unquote, elder. Elder. That's hard. What makes you think if you can't humble yourself to pray through a breakthrough, you're going to make the rapture? Huh? I hear folks all the time, "I need a breakthrough." I've heard it since I've been up here. "I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough." You can't get a breakthrough by slipping in and slipping out of church services, hitting the door at altar time, or going to the bathroom.
That's right.
I know people in Texas. Amen. And I've been to some of those churches over and over and over again. We haven't got them to the altar yet, Tom. Come to the, start playing, we're closing. And you can just about see the same cats. Women and guys, you know. Bathroom time. Who texts me? I'm gaming. Oh, last time before church I had 10 likes, now I got 50. I'm slipping in to slip out. I can't get a breakthrough like that.
Right. Yeah.
Psalm 19 and 14. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. Psalm 141 and verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. One thing about this thing here. One thing about this. You've never seen a selfie. Watch what I'm saying. You've never seen a selfie from an altar because self doesn't matter. Let that sink in. Huh? What are we releasing in this service tonight that's kind of tight? Because I feel it. We were at Kenai last night till 1 o'clock in the morning in prayer. Boy, it's a battle. We were here today. Because I knew what I was going to bring. But it was cool. And you walked in. You know, I didn't even know you were here. But I had told Brother Mitch we were coming over here. I said, in my history of coming to SPC through the years on a Thursday, whether he's preaching or I'm preaching or whoever's preaching, I said, and I know you do it other times. And I told him as we were driving up, I told him, I won't be surprised if Bishop shows up, he sometimes gets the mail or whatever he has to do and goes in his office. And here we're praying, and I didn't know you had come in, and he said, Bishop in the office. I said, what'd I tell you? <All right. laughs> What'd I tell you? I said, I know Bishop something on Thursday. It's his church. Huh? What are you and I releasing in this service tonight? Huh? Is the talk toxic, ugly? Because everybody, including the preacher tonight, everybody brought something with them.
Right.
Everybody.
Right.
Lord Jesus, whatever it takes, deliver me, God. Lamas needs a complete breakthrough. And I'm giving you access to a continuing transformation.
God.
Why? Because mercy opens the door to redemption while grace extends a hand of Christ's self-emptying, self-sacrificial favor. And together they weave by the Spirit a tapestry of compassion and second and third and fourth and fifth and seventh and eighth chances, reminding us that growth and forgiveness can transcend our shortcomings. Yeah, maybe next time I come, I'll go haywire. I'll preach. Forgiveness can transcend our shortcomings. Ladies and gentlemen, I was just counseling somebody that when I left Houston right before, and I said, well, you know, when I was doing the 7 hours, I said, I'll just insert this here for whoever needs it. Do not allow the ugly in people to destroy the beauty in you.
All right.
We need to leave a good mark on people for the glory of God. We don't need to leave a scar. Because if you don't love yourself, you won't love others.
Right.
Don't just tell them that you love them in word or in deed. A word or in tongue, but in deeds and in truth. Buy them some flowers. You guys, buy them some flowers. You ladies, buy them a nice book. Because it's good for the man to take them out to eat. Girls, take him out to eat. Not just in word and tongue. Do it in deeds and in truth. Why? Because deeds are truth. So I told my wife, we got two Red Lobster gift cards. Just waiting. It's calling our name, Rich. Because she loved crab. And I loved the big Admiral's Feast. Ooh, Jesus. Whew. And now I got them on my desk. And they're talking to me. It's like 50 or 60 bucks. And it's going to be about 75. I said, well, Lord, somebody's going to give us another $25. I'll be glad to throw in the tip. And it's going to happen. Because I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you make that happen, I said, I'm not bargaining with you, but, you know, because you're God. I said, if that happens, you give me another $25 Red Lobster, I said, I'm going to tip the waiter 20-25%. Okay. I know a pastor in Houston, amen, that if you get bad service, they don't holler at them. They tip them to 15% or 18%. He said, but if they give me good service, I'll tip them double what my meal is. It's one of the pastors in Houston. I ain't going to say who. I do double because we're apostolic. You know what? Too many of us. And he said, I just recently had to go get my wife went and talked to this waitress was crying. She said, and she said, honey, what's wrong? She said, I hate Sundays. And she said to the waitress, why? Because all you Christians come in here and just raise hell. Where's my food? It's cold. 2 days. Baba, baba. And then his wife sitting with the pastor. And they both went over to her. I don't know how much they handed her because he didn't say. He said, here, sweetheart. He said, not all of us are like that. I'm sorry that it happened to you. But we are not a representative of the whole church.
Yeah.
And I know it can get heavy in those restaurants. I understand that. Come on, folks.
Yeah.
In deeds and in truth.
Yes.
Want to change your world? Change yourself. Love begins at home. Spills over to the church. You preached it thousands and thousands of times. My bishop, thousands and thousands of times. The church is only as strong as the family.
Right.
That's one of the first things I heard when I was born in 1973. Bishop Stanley. And I know he's preached here before, years ago.
Yeah.
Why? We must live with love. We can be firm, but we must live with love. Why? Because the world is a very cold place. Be the apple of someone's eye. Ask for mercy and grace, because I remember 50 years ago, he gave me mercy and grace. And he could have took me out a lot of times. Acts for mercy and grace. It feels it and moves with compassion in action. It does something about it. Lord, help us to move with compassion on our families, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that cold, callous, hard world out there.
Oh God.
And I'm closing, whoever's coming. I'm closing, sis. And I'm thinking, Sister Glover, and looking at my wife, you know. I don't want to talk about myself, my experiences, you know. I can't talk about nobody else. For the last 8 months or whatever it was, and I petitioned the Lord. I didn't get angry, but, you know, I petitioned the Lord. I said, Lord! At that time, you know, I'm glad for the great report today, Sister Sherry Fenton. Hallelujah. That's because I kept the right attitude. And I tend, because I kept a right attitude. And I told the Lord, Lord, wow, you're awesome. After all the hell that we've been through, thank you. We deserve something good. We do. That's for my house. I can't speak for none of your cats. Never waste your feelings on people who don't value you. And this is why I'm trying to get in the situation that we're dealing with in another place, that I'm trying to get to that hard head. Never waste your feelings on people who don't value you. Don't let anybody dummy you down. You're apostolic. You're born again. You ain't got to take it. Wipe your tears, baby. Square your shoulders. Get back in the game! We're family, folks. You need to ask God to give you the grace to make some deep life changes in our life. Let God's grace, at least for me, let God's grace rain down upon us. God, renew my, let's stand. Renew my mindset. God, renew my mindset. And I know tonight, Sister Nichols, I know tonight I am loved and I am not alone. I'm not alone. God's my Savior. God's my healer. God's my comforter. God, as I close, God's my strength. God's my courage. God's my joy. God's my peace. He is my everything. Yeah. I'm just trying to help us make heaven.
That's right.
He don't know it, but somebody passed me a statement that Bishop made the other day. Man, did it hit me when I was praying. He made a statement, and I wasn't even here. Somebody, oh, maybe it was on Facebook or somebody told me. Maybe somebody told me. He made a statement. He, and you probably remember, he said, everybody wants to spend time in eternity, but nobody wants to spend time with him. You remember that?
Yeah.
I said, wow. Wow. Oh. Ooh, and that's the truth, Bishop.
Yeah.
That's a powerful statement, sir.
Yeah.
I want to spend time with him and eternity.
That's right.
Why don't we just lift up our hands and say, whatever, Sister Becca, or Sister Pelletier, we respect you.